Well, greetings in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It is good to be a Christian. I would say especially today, but they've probably been saying that for 2,000 years. So any day is good to be a Christian. A couple of announcements. After church today, starting at 11 o'clock, we're going to have this will be the first Sunday, where we'll be talking about why we're here, what this church is, what makes us up, what makes us tick, what are our goals in life, if you will. Borrowing from Dr. Jeremiah, where do we go from here, which we will start in the fall. And I have hope for the future of us, even though we're very, very small group of folks, but a lot of churches are small nowadays. We're about average for rural America, especially after, after the conference annual meeting this weekend. So I'll be sharing a few of those ideas as well. So if you're interested, stop down after church for some coffee and some kind of refreshments. We always have something interesting. What is it?
Cinnamon rolls.
Ooh. I'll even eat those. Okay. And fellowship time, getting to know one another and getting to know one another better. Tonight, in your bulletin it says the Arrowhead Concert Association meeting is at 2 o'clock. It's not. It's at 6 o'clock. Thank you, Bernie, for that. And so we let them use the church for their meeting, so if you would respect that, we would appreciate it. And then Monday night, ladies, you get to enjoy fellowship and salad supper together. If you haven't signed up, I think you can still sign up, right? Yep. Good to go. That will be at 6 o'clock for the ladies. Some of you remember last year, I found out, I think I came to it and then sort of got kicked out. I found out it's ladies, Mike, ladies salad supper. Get a clue. Next Sunday is communion celebration. On Sunday, May 3rd, or Monday, May 4th, is a free estate planning seminar. That's wills, trusts, those kinds of things. You can tell how well versed I'm in on it. It is free. It is being held and hosted by Chisholm Baptist Church. They're the same seminars both nights, so you don't have to attend two nights. If you attend on Sunday, May 3rd, you can also sign up for a one-on-one time with those specialists on Monday during the day for an hour to talk with them confidentially about your own situation, your own questions. If you attend on May 4th, they will be staying afterwards for a short time to try to help people who come on May 4th. The sessions are about an hour, so they're not lengthy, full of a lot of information that might be helpful and of interest. There is registration, so you can either call Chisholm Baptist Church directly or let me know so we can let them know how many will be attending. Sunday, May 10th is Mother's Day. Moms, we got a few of you here. And so on Mother's Day, as has been our tradition, I guess, we won't be having Sunday school after church, so you can go and celebrate with your family, or your family can take you out to dinner and give you tickets to Disney World or whatever it is kids do for their moms. And then just a reminder, in a couple of weeks, Sunday, May 17th, we're going to be having a videographer here. His name is Nick, and he will be interested in interviewing people about your perspectives about this church. He's going to be videotaping it, and then later he's going to be editing it and putting something on our website. He believes, this is not what Mike believes because I'm old, he believes that the website is the best current contact for people. That's the first place that they go to find out about the church. And so he's interested in helping all of the churches in the district. That would be the Covenant Park Bible Camp churches. In getting their websites up to date with these video greetings or whatever kind of a thing. So if you're interested in talking with Nick and being videotaped, I'd ask you to think about it. For those who are not interested in being videotaped, I'd ask you to think and pray about it, because I would very much like some of you to be videotaped. Some of you have a long history with the church, so you've got some information that the rest of us don't have, and so that I think would be very interesting to be on videotape. I think that takes care of the announcements. Very, very busy month of March, a very busy month of April. Just been kind of crazy, but that's good in a way. So if you would stand with me and we can share the call to worship together. I pulled this out of hymn number 361. You'll notice that the call to worship and the hymns today are all centered around our heart's cry to the Lord for forgiveness and for relationship. Out of the depths I cry to you.
Lord, now hear my call.
Incline your ear to my distress.
In spite of my rebellion.
Send me the grace my spirit needs.
Without it, I am nothing.
Turn to 346.
To call them all his own, How for them he's interceding, watching o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every, love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heaven to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee.
Kind and merciful God, we have sinned in your sight. We have all wandered far from your way. We have followed desire. We have failed to aspire to the virtue we ought to display. Kind and merciful God, bid us lift up our heads and command us to rise from our knees. May our hearts now be changed and no longer estranged through the power of your pardon and peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Today we have two wonderful passages about the Good Shepherd. The first one is Psalm 23, which you'll find on Pew Bible page 415. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second passage is in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Again, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. May God add his blessing to his word.
The ushers to come forward at this time.
And we're going to sing 363 a cappella during the offering.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you told us that you are our whole life, peace and joy. We thank you that we can come to you for everything that we need and that you are sufficient, including being our own shepherd. Bless us. We offer these gifts to you from our heart with thanksgiving. Through your precious name, Jesus, amen.
Shine on me, Jesus, shine on me, through the darkness of my heart, Jesus, shine on me, see my heart, for I repent, hear my humble plea, to renew our covenant. Jesus, shine on me, shine on me, shine on me, Jesus, shine on me, through the darkness of my heart, Jesus, shine on me, in your mercy I implore, make the darkness flee. Heavenly light upon me pour, Jesus, shine on me, shine on me, shine on me, Jesus, shine on me, through the darkness of my heart, Jesus, shine on me. New beginnings light my way toward eternity, lead me in your light today. Jesus, shine on me, shine on me, shine on me, Jesus, shine on me, through the darkness of my heart, Jesus, shine on me.
Let us stand and sing our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
And turn in your hymnal to 374. 374. Savior, while my heart is tender. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would yield that heart to
Thank you, Jeffrey. As I mentioned this morning, the call to worship and the hymns all surround our coming to the Lord as we are. Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God tells us, Jesus tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we come to Jesus because his Father, our Father, has completed a plan through his Son where we can receive, ask and receive forgiveness and cleansing. When we ask, as you know, the Word of God tells us that all of our sins are forgotten by God, moved as far away as the east is from the west. And so we can start fresh with the Lord, walk with the Lord every single day. A couple of television pastors over these last couple of weeks have reminded me that not only does he forgive our sins from the past and the present, but he forgives our sins yet in the future. And one of them explained, maybe you don't think so, but remember, when Jesus died, all of our sins were in the future, and he paid for them all at that time. So the Bible says, once and for all. Just one sacrifice at one time. We don't need to keep going into the temple as the people of Israel had to do every year on the Day of Atonement to offer a sacrifice. One sacrifice through the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover all sins. It's kind of an amazing and hard to understand for me that all the sins covered by our Savior and Lord. So as we go in prayer, keep that in mind. In your hearts, connect with the Lord Jesus and just settle things with him this morning. Let us pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we come to you because your Father, who is our Father, has ordained that you, through your sacrifice, which we just celebrated within the last couple of weeks, has paid for our sins. And so this morning we come to you, we lay out our hearts and our lives before you, and ask you, precious Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in words similar to the ones you said on the cross. Forgive us, for we know not what we do sometimes. Forgive us because we are people, created beings in need of forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus, we can't even begin to list all of the things that we need forgiveness for, because we're unaware of some of them. And so we set our lives before you and ask that you would forgive them all, because you know them all. Cleanse our hearts. Wash us free from the past. Give us a new future walking with you. This morning, Lord Jesus, we receive you and receive you once again as our Lord and our Savior. Ask you to come into our lives and walk with us forever, not just during this life, but for all eternity. Lord Jesus, our hearts smile when we ask that prayer, because we know that you will come in, that you will walk with us, that you will guide and direct our lives, and that with you, you bring eternal life, salvation, peace, joy, strength, wisdom for the days that we have down here on earth, and answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you, because you have made our lives different. At the same time, Lord Jesus, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters all around the world, in whatever fellowship they are in, whatever church they are in, that you would pour out your love and grace, mercy and forgiveness upon them, that you would unite us all with one heart and one mind to glorify you and to glorify and worship our Father God together, and exalt you above all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have an incredible, vast, and expansive people, your family, throughout the entire world and those waiting for us in heaven, which you are building, which you call your church, and that we will celebrate with you forever and ever and ever and ever, free from all of the challenges of the world, our own flesh, and our enemy, who is your arch enemy, Satan himself, free from it all, for all eternity. We look forward with hope and joy to that blessed hope. Jesus, meet with us here. Minister to our hearts. Give us answers to our prayers. Glorify yourself always. We love you. We honor you. We have chosen to follow you. We seal this all in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, before which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Turn to 413, 413. Precious Lord, take my hand.
That's an old time hymn. We continue on in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Just five verses this morning. I'd like to read them for you. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul had an idea. Let's go back to all the churches that we've been to. And we talked about those last week. And if you remember, some of those visits weren't very pleasant. In fact, they escaped sort of with their lives a couple of times. So this suggestion, this recommendation was courageous, but it was also filled with compassion because Paul says, "Let's see how they are." It was mission-oriented. He wanted to keep these fledgling congregations, which were probably about our size to begin with. He wanted to keep them going. And as we know, Paul, he wanted to talk. He was a talker. And so he wanted to teach and preach. He wanted to give more to these new believers. He wanted to be the traveling pulpit supply to these different churches. And then another opinion arose, not as to what to do, but who should go with. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with, as we read. Paul was absolutely opposed to that suggestion because Mark had left the journey about one third of the way on the outgoing route. He didn't go the whole trip and then desert on the way back. He left about one third of the way on the start of the mission trip. We don't know why he left. There's no record of that. But Paul was mad. He was hot at Mark. I want you to note that both of these are just opinions. Barnabas had an opinion. Paul had an opinion. And I want you to notice that even the great Apostle Paul, which sometimes in our theological studies in Bible school and seminary, is almost exalted to the place of Jesus. Paul had opinions, and this was one of them. I want you to also notice, in comparison to what we looked at last week, they had not fasted and prayed about this. Paul just voiced his suggestion and then his opinion about John Mark. Lesson number one. which we've all learned through the years, right? Because we've launched out on our own without praying, sometimes without fasting and praying, which is needed in some situations. So just a reminder from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, or if you prefer Luke 11, 9. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now you're very familiar with that verse, so I don't have to probably expound upon that very much. But just a reminder, Paul, ask before you give your opinions, and perhaps even before you give your suggestions. But they didn't. Paul kept insisting, my version says. Why? Well, it's my opinion, not just from this passage, but from Paul's writings, loyalty to Paul was very, very important. Many times in his writings, he mentions people who stayed with him and people who left him. Now, I don't know why loyalty was so important to Paul, but it is of note to me that when he gets into this disagreement with Barnabas over Mark's lack of loyalty, he overlooks Barnabas and his opinion, because Barnabas had been very loyal to Paul. So we've got this Paul who is, word, hypocrite in his thinking, if it is loyalty that is so important to him. Barnabas, on the other hand, Mike's opinion, has a much broader view of grace. He likes Mark. Mark is young, he's inexperienced, he deserted them, but he got to know Mark by traveling with him for a while, and so he's got a little idea of Mark's gifts. He's got a little idea about Mark's personality. He's got a little idea about Mark's fortitude. He's got faith in Mark despite all that. Even though Mark is unproven, young, perhaps impetuous, he has grace for Mark. Lesson number two as we walk in the Lord, grace for one another. Young believers, older believers, I'm old, I already told you that, but you already knew that. I need grace too. Just because you get old or because you've been in the Lord a long time doesn't mean you're right all the time. We need grace for one another. Barnabas had grace for Mark. And he valued that Mark did go with them. Remember, there were many people who did not go with Paul and Barnabas. Mark did. Pretty daring for a young guy, probably a teenager at the time. As I mentioned, we don't know Mark's side of the story. We don't know why he left. Could have been a family matter back home. Could have been he just looked at the opposition they were getting and didn't want to risk it anymore. We don't know. However, we do know things happen. Things happen that we don't predict. Things happen that we don't like. But Mark kept on. He may have left Paul and Barnabas on this trip, but we have the record here. Mark kept on. We find him showing up in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 10, reappearing again as an example of someone who stuck with Jesus through it all. Good days, bad days, Mark did stick to it. We also find Mark showing up in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Peter recognizes Mark as someone who stuck it out and stayed with Jesus. There arose, verse 39, such a sharp disagreement, and we get ready for lesson number 3 this morning. There arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. That is problematic for me. It seems like we've been in the Christian church separating from one another for thousands of years over differences of opinion. So I wanted us to be reminded, James chapter 4, starting with verse 1, and I am right now preaching to Paul and Barnabas, and you can listen in. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You desire, but you do not have. So you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not, remember John 10:10 before, you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Excuse me, not John 10:10, Mark 7:7. And so we've got these two very spiritual leaders, probably the most spiritual in the early church, other than the apostles themselves, who are arguing and quarreling because they want something. They want it their way. Barnabas could have given in. Paul could have given in. But they both wanted it their way. The result of that, and the result, as you know this from living life, the result often of arguing and quarreling is people separate. People go apart, even in the church. And again, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, churches have had church splits. And you know some of the stories. Sometimes it's over just ridiculous things. Because people want instead of providing grace to one another. And so Barnabas and Mark, they go back the same missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas and Mark had taken before, back to those same cities. Paul goes a different way. He goes up, if you can visualize the map that you looked at last week, goes up along the coastline of Syria. So they sort of encapsulated a portion of the Mediterranean Sea. Two different directions. Good? Absolutely. More people are going to hear the gospel of Jesus because they're going to take different routes. So some lessons this morning. We've already had three. Lessons we can learn about not quitting. Lesson number one, it takes courage. I watched Dr. Jeremiah this past week. And in one of his messages, he says, if anybody told you that being a Christian is easy, they're wrong. Being a Christian takes work. Number two lesson, compassion. For Paul, Mark, and Barnabas to do what they're doing, they had to care about the people. And remember, God's work is not about the pews, it's not about the crosses, it's not about the banners. God's work is about people. That's the job he's in. And if you're people, he's in the business of compassion for you and me and for everybody out there. Number three, it takes commitment. Ever feel like quitting? I would expect a very loud amen. Of course, we've all faced those kinds of situations where we're just like, this is too much work. I don't like this. It takes commitment. Why do we stay committed? When Paul is so insistent about loyalty, is Paul loyal to Jesus? Yes. Why? Why are we so committed to God? Why are we so committed to Jesus? When I ask that question of people, the usual answer I get is, well, heaven, or often the word salvation. My preferred answer to that question is, I love God. And I love Jesus. I would be happy as a Sadducee. Sadducees didn't believe there is a resurrection. They didn't believe there is an afterlife. I would be happy because I just love God. Here and now, this walk, this life is good enough for me. He is incredible. And that word is a poor word. I can't think of a better English word because we don't have better English words to describe God. God and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I love them. Or maybe I should say, I love Him. Three in one and one in three. Yeah, don't ask me to explain it because I can't. Number four. Communication. I took some training on this issue, and one of the statements I remember is, communication is the key to your relationship. Here as a fellowship, communication is key, critical to our relationship with one another. Even if we communicate in disagreeing over an issue, not getting into an argument over it, and I don't want to do that, but we can disagree. But communication is important. We don't always get the chance to communicate with other people because sometimes they don't want to communicate or communicate effectively. Lessons in walking together. Earlier I told you, I am encouraged. I think God is beginning to give me glimpses, or perhaps glimpses of hope, of what we can do as a very small fellowship together to glorify His name. I was first inspired with the conference, Rural Leadership Conference, about a month ago. This weekend, attending the conference virtually I was also encouraged. But as I wrote down notes, I love to take notes. I've always been a note taker. As I wrote down notes, my thought was, it's going to take work. But what we have, and this is just Mike's opinion or observation, but what we have, love for one another, prayer for one another, a commitment to the Word of God, commitment to Jesus, and a history of Christians who have gone before us for 123 years praying for this church, envisioning our future together. It is now my belief that we are going to go forward for years ahead. Some of us, those years ahead may not be 20. Some of us, some of you, for certain, it's going to be more than 20 years. But we are going to go ahead in the Lord together with courage, compassion, commitment, and communication. And that excites me. These past 2 years have been life-changing for me. From being a member of this church to having to take on the vision and the work of trying to lead us forward as brothers and sisters in Christ. Been life-changing for me because I've had to ask questions that I didn't have to ask before, because we had a pastor up here and it was his job, right? So then it became my job. So I had to start asking those questions, and it has excited me. Why God put us together? There's an answer to that question. Would you pray with me? Our Lord Jesus, you are with us. You have promised that. And we know that you are here. Lord Jesus, you are with us individually, whether we meet together or not. You have promised that, and so we know that is true. Guide us forward. And our Father God, in the words of one of our hymns, guide us, O thou great Jehovah. For we are your children. In the wilderness of this world, in need of you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you in the name and through the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Turn to 410, 410. Lead me, Lord.
Thank you.
turn to one another and let's sing our blessing to one another.
The Lord bless you and